through 20. And I want to remind everybody that we have been in a series called A Church That Honors. And we have talked about how the church should honor each other, how we should honor each other. We've talked about how we are to honor the widows. And today we're going to be talking about how we are to honor our leaders. This passage is talking specifically about honoring our pastors, our elders. So we're going to get right into this. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 20. Since I know we all need a little bit more exercise, why don't everybody stand up with me as we read God's word to honor Him, since we're in a series of honoring. That makes sense to me. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 20 says this: "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain,' and the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, and so that the rest may stand in fear." You may be seated. You may be seated. So what does it mean to honor somebody? I know we've been talking about it a little bit, but I can't not talk about honoring our leaders and not talk about honoring. So what does it mean to honor somebody? It has a lot to do with, like, one of the words that they use is to respect. So it's showing respect to somebody. Another way of viewing it is holding somebody at great value. Holding someone at great value. So showing honor means treating others respectfully because we value them so highly. I think that changes, just studying this, it changed my perspective on what honoring looks like, because our world shows us such a different idea of what it looks like to honor somebody. I viewed honoring somebody as you bow down to a king, or there's an award ceremony for somebody that has achieved something great and they get this prestigious honor. Or in, like, The Godfather, you kiss the ring as a show of honor. That's what our basis in our world has seen of what it looks like to honor. But our society has a misguided understanding of what honoring somebody means. The reality is that we have seen people awarded or shown honor, and then right away as they walk off the stage or as they walk away, somebody's talking badly about them and tearing them right back down. That's not honor. We have seen in our history kings that were bowed down to, and the people that were bowing down to them were actually plotting to kill them. Anybody know anything about Caesar Augustus? How about Judas and Jesus? Judas followed Jesus, showed him honor, all the while he was plotting to betray Jesus. And that's not honor. We give soldiers medals for their service, and then we quickly forget them. And when they need help, we're nowhere to be seen. That's not honoring somebody. Honoring means to hold somebody at such a great value. You value them so much, it impacts how we treat them. So if I was to honor you, I would look at who you are and what value you bring to the table, how valuable of a person you are, and I would value you as God values you, and because of my value for you, I would treat you differently. We would interact differently. Actually, our world has gotten very good at dishonoring and devaluing people. We're so quick to tear somebody down. You could see it from mainstream media to social media to news media. We're always ripping people down. Our world, tearing people down, not building them up. And it brings us to our main point today that we want to talk about, is God calls us to honor our leaders. So who are these leaders that we're told to honor? This passage, as I said, is specifically talking about pastors and elders, and it's not just anybody. Off the street, there is a set of requirements. There's a set of expectations and requirements that pastors are supposed to have in order to be called into that pastoral ministry. So I want to remind you of those things. In 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7, it says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil." Now, that is a packed requirement list of what it looks like to become a pastor. You have to be able to fill these requirements. And that's never taken lightly. It's a very serious thing. And so you have pastors that have fulfilled these requirements and become pastors. But does that in itself make them worthy of honor? I would say no. I would say absolutely not. And I have three questions today that I want to answer with you. And the first one is this: should we honor our leaders? The only one worthy of honor is God. God is the only one deserving of honor. It says here in Revelation 4:11, it says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You, by your will, they existed and were created." So God, who created all things, who keeps all things intact, everything that exists, everything that moves and runs, it's all because of Him. He is worthy of honor. You agree? Yeah. That was a very excited amen, right? 1 Timothy 1:17 also says, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory forever." Amen. He is the only God, the only one deserving of honor. But we're told in this passage to honor our leaders. See, when we honor God, there are different ways we can honor God, right? We can honor God with our time, how we spend our time. We can honor God with our physical body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and how we treat it. And we're going to talk about more about that next week. But we can honor God with our bodies. We can honor God with our talents. We just had our worship team up here leading us with their talents, and they were honoring God by leading us. And there's gifts that you've been given as believers, spiritual gifts that you can honor God with. You can honor God with your heart. There are many ways we can honor God. One way I think we can honor God is by honoring everybody. It says here in 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Honor everybody. It's not so cut and dry as somebody that's deserving of honor you give honor to. It says honor everybody. Deserving of honor, not deserving of honor, the person to your left, the person to your right, the person that cursed you out this morning as you were driving on the street and didn't wait long enough at that stop sign. It says honor everybody. It's not based on accomplishments. It's not based on who their parents are. If we are waiting for somebody to be deserving of honor, we are going to be waiting forever, because the only one deserving of honor is God. And we honor everybody because we want to obey God. And He tells us to. He says, honor everybody. So we say, yes, Lord. And we honor people. God wants us to value each other. Does that So if honoring somebody is seeing them of great value, and we all honor each other and we all start valuing each other more, you see how our church can grow. Our church can show love for each other in a better way. Our church can stomp out roadblocks and challenges and difficulties that come our way because we are caring for each other and honoring each other. So he even wants us to compete to honor each other. Have you ever saw this passage? Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." We're called to outdo each other in showing honor. I was thinking about my kids, and I've shared this before. So I got four boys, and you guys all know them, and they compete for everything. The first one to the car. The first one to run up the stairs. The first one to get into the kitchen when Michelle rings the dinner bell. The first one to do everything. We go on a road trip, and I ask them, anybody need to use the bathroom? And one of them will say, yeah, I need to use the bathroom. And so we're going to the bathroom, and none of the other ones need to go. But as soon as we get out of the car, the first one to the bathroom, even if they don't have to go, they're in the stall before the one that like is dying to use the bathroom. Always competing. And I was thinking about this kind of correlation with competing and just this idea of how we are supposed to outdo each other in honoring. So it gave me this beautiful idea, and I hope someday I get to experience as my kids grow up that instead of running to get to the bathroom first, they're trying to outdo each other by caring about each other and loving each other and honoring each other more. I'm gonna outdo you by showing you respect. I'm gonna outdo you by valuing your needs above my own. I'm gonna value you more. You're gonna value me. I'm gonna value you more. And I was just thinking about this idea, and I just imagined a church that lives life like this. That instead of looking to what I need, my needs, looking for somebody to value me, I'm focused on valuing you. You're focused on valuing the person next to you. And together, because we value each other so much, we're able to accomplish so much more. We're able to encourage each other so much more. I just thought about, man, if our church could get that and get to that place, and our families can get to that place where we're honoring each other. So what a beautiful thing. Our community, our world, what a beautiful thing. We are called to honor everyone, value everyone. We are also to honor our spiritual leaders, our pastors who work hard. It says specifically who work hard, we're to give them double honor. In 1 Timothy 5:17, the passage we read a moment ago, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." So the elders that rule well. We're not just talking about honoring someone who has gotten some sort of doctorate degree or an achievement and now they're worthy of honor. That's not the point. We're to value our pastors and the role that God has given them in our lives at such a level that we are able to honor them and to hold them at high value. When we hold somebody at high value, our perspective of them changes. It's going to also change our actions and our interactions with that person. You know, you think about somebody that you don't respect. Now, I don't want to think negatively too long, so we'll do this real quick. Think of somebody that you have a hard time respecting. Are you going to go to them for advice? If it was somebody that you highly respected or valued their words, what they have to say, would you go to them for advice? So God is saying here that we're to value our leaders, which will help us change our perspective on them and come to them or listen to them. There are a couple ways that we could do that. When we value our leaders, we're going to listen to them. You're going to come to service on Sunday, not just to sit down and do your regular ritual thing, but you're going to come ready to eat. You're going to come ready with your spoon to devour the Word of God. You're going to come knowing that the pastor that's going to come up is going to bring a word from God that is valuable to your spiritual growth, and you're going to come ready to hear it. Your heart is going to be ready. If you value that leader, we're also going to be, it'll be a lot easier to seek them out for counsel. A lot of times we go through something in our life and we make life-altering decisions, and we don't go to people, or we just go to the people we know they're going to give us the answer that we want to hear. But if we honor our leader, if we value what they have to say, you're going to go to them. You're going to ask them what they think. You're going to ask them to pray for you as you make this decision. You're going to involve them in that process. Also, if we value our leaders, we'll care about them. We'll care about their needs. We will encourage and exhort them. We will pray for them. This stuff is really important. We will defend them against attack. And if you don't understand, the devil is attacking. Your pastors are attacking pastors all over the place. You can turn on the TV and see that. I don't need to explain how that's happening, but it's happening. Satan wants to destroy the leaders of the church so he can destroy the church, because he doesn't want the church to be around. He wants to destroy. We also honor our leaders by protecting their character. It's so easy to get caught up in conversations where characters are torn down. And 1 Timothy 5:19 through 20 says, "Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for these who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear." You see, back in this situation, Paul's writing Timothy, and he's writing them because there's an issue. Pastors are being falsely accused of things. There's stuff going on, and Paul's warning Timothy. He's like, don't let this happen. You can't be okay with it. We have to make sure that there's more than just one person making an accusation. It has to be witnesses to this accusation. You think about even our law system. You can't really be found guilty just because there's one witness. There has to be evidence of a crime. And even in Deuteronomy, this isn't the first time it says it, when they were putting together law and order in Deuteronomy 19:15, it says, "A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with an offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall to have established." We are told we need to have more than one witness. And if it goes on to say, if that person is guilty, then, and they're unrepentant, rebuke them in front of everybody so everybody can see. So it's not trying to sweep under the rug anything. What it is saying is that there are a lot of people bringing up false accusations. The Bible says your sin will find you out. If we think that we are the only ones that are going to be able to point out somebody else's sin, then we're not trusting God that can do that. You can bring up people that see what's going on to bring up those accusations. You're supposed to have two or three. I wanted to just talk about gossip and slander just for a second, really quick here, because it's, I don't know how many times I've been in a conversation and we're just talking, and then it starts to turn, and you don't even realize it right away, and you're like, man, I'm talking about somebody now. I'm tearing them down. I'm not lifting them up anymore. This conversation needs to stop. And it's important that we are watching for that, that we're guarding for that, we're protecting, so that nobody in this room is slandered. Nobody in this room has people talking about them and tearing them down, but we're about lifting people up. So how do we honor our leaders? By valuing them in the place God has given them in our lives. By valuing them in the place God has given them in our lives. Why do we honor leaders? That's the next question that I have. We honor out of obedience to the Lord, number one. And we honor to help our perspective of that person change. We talked about that. We also honor to support our leaders. In 1 Timothy 5:18 it says, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wage." So this comes from an Old Testament word where they actually had ox that would crush grain. They would tread out the grain, and they started putting these muzzles on them to keep them working, but they wouldn't eat any of the profits, right? And what they were saying in that passage back then is that you allow the ox to be able to eat while he works, to be able to have that encouragement and support, the energy, the motivation to keep going. And so Paul puts this into the letter to Timothy, and he's saying in the same way, do this with pastors. Don't muzzle them and ask them to do everything without that same kind of support. And it's specifically talking about financially. You're supposed to financially support your pastors, but I think there's other ways too that we can support our leaders. We can support them through prayer. Don't let your pastor work without you praying for them. You can support them through encouragement. If you don't think that you think they're in a place where they don't feel encouraged when you do something or say something that's uplifting, you can encourage them. You can support them by studying the Word. You're seeking the God. You're seeking God out. The God, I said it by accident, but I meant it. You seeking God is encouraging, and it's a way you can support your pastor. And another way is by defending them against gossip. I just wanted to share some statistics with you that I was looking up on pastors, and it's kind of crazy. So just bear with me for a second. 75% of pastors report being extremely stressed or highly stressed. 90% work between 55 to 75 hours a week. 90% feel fatigued and worn out every week. 78% of pastors were forced to resign from their church, 63% at least twice, most commonly because of church conflict. 80% will not be in ministry 10 years later, and on an average, seminary-trained pastor lasts only 5 years in church ministry. 5 years. Praise God, we're going on over 10. And Pastor Jamie here. So someone must be doing something right. We got to keep encouraging them, right? 91% have experienced some form of burnout in ministry. 91%. Understand, burnout, you're working so hard that you run out of gas completely and you got nothing left. A lot of times when someone burns out, they physically are burnt out and hurt. Or emotionally, burnout can affect someone spiritually. And we see a lot of people in ministry falling away from God because of this type of burnout. This one I highlighted because I thought this was really interesting. 66% of church members expect a minister and family to live at a higher moral standard than themselves. Now, just the idea of this, yes, if you are a minister of the gospel, you are a pastor, you are a deacon, you are a leader in the church, it doesn't matter what role, if you are working in the church, yes, there are high moral standards that you should live by. Absolutely. You should not have sex out of marriage. Moral standard, right? You should not be somebody that lies to people or deceives people. There's high moral standards. You can go through a list. You can write up your own. What I didn't like about this statistic is that if I'm in a congregation, I think my pastor should live up to this expectation, but I'm not living up to an expectation of moral standards that God has given me, what's wrong with that picture? Because we're all called to live up to high moral standards. Yes, the leaders, but yes, all of us. 70% of pastors say they have a lower self-esteem now than when they entered ministry. Think about why that happens. 70% constantly fight depression. 70%. 80% believe their pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 80% of ministry spouses feel left out and unappreciated in their church. 77% feel they do not have a good marriage. 38% are divorced or divorcing. And this is the last one. 100% of over 1,000 pastors had a colleague who had left the ministry because of either burnout, church conflict, or moral failure. 100% of the 1,000 pastors they talked to knew somebody left the church because of one of those three areas. I want to ask you, is this the best we could do for our pastors? I want to ask you, what is our role? What is our responsibility in this? I believe that many of the scandals that have happened, churches falling apart, pastors falling into depression, doing something terrible, I believe a lot of these situations could have been stopped or halted if there was a body of believers surrounding this pastor in prayer, encouragement, support, love, exhortation. They see something going on that's not right. You exhort that pastor to do what God says to do. I want to be a church that's like that, right? That takes care of and fights for, because we value that person so much in our lives that we are doing everything that we can to support them and make sure that these six aren't a reality for them. My last question here that I asked: why do we honor our leaders? We honor them to support them and lift them up. There was a question I was thinking through for a while I was preparing. And it's, why is it so important to honor each other? Why is it so important to honor each other? And the answer that I came up with was kind of twofold. I think one of the reasons it's so important to honor each other is when we're focused on valuing others or seeing their worth, we are focused less on ourself. And humility is able to be a reality in our lives. If I'm in that race, like I talked about my kids, in that race to honor Tank, that's my goal. I'm going to value Tank, and what comes with that is the way I view him, the way I support him, the way I look at him. And I'm racing to do that more. I have less time to look at myself. I have less time to value myself. I have less time to be prideful. And it allows me to be humble. The second thing I think is God wants us to be all about building up the body. All about building up each other. And yes, he wants us to give twice as much honor, which means that we're valuing our pastors twice as much. I was really struggling to put this sermon together, I'll be honest, because I wanted to be the one coming up and say, we're called to honor our leaders. And I was looking through, researching other people that have talked about this subject, and I'll be honest, there's not that much conversation about it. They talk about honoring your father and mother. They talk about honoring your officials, and they talk about honoring your husband or honoring your wife, but there's not a lot about honoring the pastor, and except this one little passage here. And it's here, and God put it in front of us this week for a reason. And I'm excited to be that church that is supportive of each other, that honors each other, that loves each other, that cares about each other so much that we're about building each other up, not tearing each other down. and we're doing the opposite of what our world is doing right now, and we're lifting each other and carrying each other and caring for each other in such a way that we're going to look different to everybody else. And this starts with how we view those people that we're called to honor, how we're viewing the widow, how we're viewing each other, how we're viewing our leaders. And so as the band comes up, the worship team comes up, I just want to encourage you to think through those statistics and to think through how we could not be one of those statistics, how we can continue. I feel like we do have a very encouraging church. I feel like you guys have been a support to our leaders. Obviously, 12 years down the road, we're still here, right? Amen. Praise God. But I think we need to be reminded every so often of how we need to be about each other and how we need to be about fighting for each other and racing each other to honor the other more. Let's pray.